Hello, everyone. Glad you could join us on the Real People, Real God podcast. We'll spend the next little while getting to know God a little bit better by getting into the Bible and hearing what He has to say to us and through us. Welcome. Welcome to the podcast. Glad to have you here with me. For the next little while, we're going to go through some of God's Word and pull some things out and see how we can apply it today. Now, I'm sitting here with my Bible. I got my computer, I got a highlighter, I got a pen, and I tell you, these highlighters that are one specifically for a Bible, they make them as a, like a marker, but they don't bleed through the page. And also, I have these that are more like a, they're like a pen, but they're also like a crayon kind of thing, and they don't bleed through either. So I encourage you to try to use those, and don't hesitate to mark up that Bible. You can always get another one if you need to, but make your notes. Make sure that you look through there. You know, when you write something down, it helps you to remember it and to process it, and also to go back on it. So today we're going to be talking about some things that the Bible has told us that will happen and that we're seeing happen today. So if you want to turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to look at verses 1 through 9, and we're going to kind of go back and talk about them a little bit just to see how this is relating to today, just to see the different things that's going on. Now, when I look at scripture like this, while you're turning there, I'll just add this little 2 cents in there. When we're looking at scripture like this, the one thing that comes to mind for me is Ecclesiastes, when Ecclesiastes says, there's nothing new under the sun. And that always resonates in my brain, bounces back and forth in my brain to let me know that whatever we're going through now is not necessarily a new thing. It might be more prominent as far as us hearing it, as far as it reaching us. The players might be different, but really there's nothing new under the sun. What we're seeing happen today in our world, things very similar happened long ago. So it's not necessarily a new thing. It's definitely not new to God. And that's one thing I think we need to understand and keep into perspective. It's not new to God. He is not surprised by what's going on. He's not been, sideswiped by it. It's certainly things that have been going on for a while, and He is completely aware of it, and He is in control of it. So in 2 Timothy chapter 3, I want to read down verses 1 through 9, and then we'll go back and take a look and talk about it just a little bit. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away, for of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. Now, I know that this scripture looks like we're about to have a negative conversation here, but I want to encourage you that's not the case. The case is to be warned, to be forewarned, to be educated, to have the knowledge, to know what is going on in our world. And to recognize it's not new. God's dealt with it before. God will deal with it again. We just happen to be in the picture this time. And so as we look through this scripture, that's one thing that I want us to keep in mind. Now, as we go through this, I just want to pull a couple of things out here to make us aware. I mean, some of this is going to be a no-brainer. We know people are lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud. That, like I said, this is not new. We know that's a very relative and it's very predominant. But within the last year or so, in 2020, and now we're beginning of 2021, we've seen a lot of this stuff in the last 4 years, actually, seen a lot of these things going on. And I just want to take a couple of them a little step further and just to make you aware of some of the things that are happening out there, some of the thought processes that are going on that just kind of blow our minds as believers, although we shouldn't be surprised, but we are often because of what we see. So we see, let's see, men will be lovers of themselves, verse 2, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control. We see that, brutal, despisers of good. We see people pushing the envelope of freedom. And I think this is one of the considerations that we don't often stop to think about is we live in the United States of America, probably the freest nation, I guess, maybe in the world. But we have our freedoms. They're protected by our Constitution. And but at the same time, with all those freedoms, can come a lot of idols and a lot of gods. And that's something that we're not taught about in school. We're not taught how to hold a balance of freedom and understand what it is and what it truly means. So, you know, those freedoms can actually, if we push them far enough, can become gods or lead us to idols. And that happens a lot. And that's kind of what the result of this particular scripture really is. Becoming lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, and all that kind of thing. Disobedient to parents. We see that with children, with the generations. We see a lot of that. Children that aren't paying attention to their parents at all, that are actually going the other direction and being very, very cruel and very mean to them. We're seeing some of our younger, maybe adults or older teens in some of the cities just going around punching people, just knocking them out, just walking down the sidewalk, see somebody, an elderly gentleman or woman, and just walking up and punching them, knocking them out. Just happened again the other day, saw it on the news. This is the type of things we're seeing. Now, we can place blame all we want, but right now we got a problem and we got to figure out how to deal with this problem. And I know a lot of things start at home, but that's not always the answer. There's a lot more to that. You know, I know it's a good place to start and we should. But these are some of the things we're seeing. People that are just unthankful, that believe that they deserve. We have a couple generations that just think they deserve everything. They deserve their parents to support them. They deserve the system, the state system, the federal system to take care of them. They deserve these things. And they're, you know, often unthankful because, you know, they think it's owed to them. These are things that are really, really predominant right now in our society. Traitors. We see people, traitors, in our governments and, you know, people that, are selling themselves out for the moral good and just, things like that. Lover of pleasure, rather than lovers of God. And then having that form of godliness, but denying its power. And that is a huge thing because so many people in this land of freedom can create their own little kingdom, so to speak. In that own little kingdom, they are God. They control their little kingdom. And anybody that comes in it or anybody that contests them or whatever, stands against them, then they try to, you know, be dominant over that individual so they won't lose their power. But that's what it is. It's a form of godliness, but it does not have the power of God. You know, they are trying to create their own power, their own kingdom, and their own thing. It happens all the time, whether it be corporate America or even on a smaller scale. So this happens all the time. Now, let me share a couple things with you that you may or may not be aware of, that are very, very kind of surprising. And when you hear them, if you haven't heard of them already, you know, it might kind of shock you a little bit. So let me pull this up on my phone here. So, okay, so many of you have probably heard of natalism. Natalism is the promoting the birth of children in our society. Then there's also antinatalism, which is really the opposite of that and not promoting having children. And so this is kind of a movement, been around a while, probably forever in one sense or another, but it's kind of getting a little bit of steam. There are people, family, you know, parents and folks that don't have any children that are really buying into this natalism. Now, what the mindset is that why should a child be born into an evil world, a world so bad, a government so bad, you know, this, that, and that kind of thing. And so the idea is with antinatalism is let's not have any more children. Let's stop having children. Why put them through it? It's a waste of time. Let's not do it. And this mindset is out there now. For some people, they might think, well, that doesn't sound so bad. But if you're a believer, you can't really buy into that because that's not how what scripture talks about. Scripture's talking about replenishing the earth and having children if you can, or sharing, you know, what you have as an individual to a child, whether it be a grandchild, a niece, a nephew, or whoever. But having children is a gift of God. Life is a gift. And antinatalism believes that life is not a gift. It's a curse. And so therefore, that is against what God says in his word. And so this is pulling up a little bit of steam, this antinatalism. And you have individuals that are totally, totally against, and they will voice their opinion against having children. Now, let me take you a step further. Last year, and I'm getting this story off of Fox News, but it's in a lot of different media, so you could Google it and find it. Raphael Samuel, he is an Indian, 27-year-old Indian man, and he was going to sue his parents. Now, get this. He was going to sue his parents because he believes that they should pay his way the rest of his life because he never asked to be born. And he says, if we are born without our consent, we should be maintained for our life. We should be paid by our parents to live. And he goes on to say, I want everyone in India and the world to realize one thing, that they were born without their consent. I want them to understand that they do not owe their parents anything, he said. If we are born without our consent, we should be maintained for our life. We should be paid by our parents to live. Now, he did try to take this to court, but a judge in India said, if you bring this to court, we will fine you for a frivolous lawsuit. So obviously it's not going to happen. But what he did do with his being outspoken about this is he gave some fodder to the antinatalist movement because it's along those same lines. And so, you know, this ideology believes that is morally wrong for people to procreate, you know, and just takes this terrible approach to human life, saying that humanity only brings suffering, you know, and this, folks, this is where this mentality is going, you know. People are taking their freedoms, and it's becoming extreme. You know, I don't know. Maybe there's a word we can come up with here. But it's like extreme liberty, extreme freedom, to the point where it actually goes beyond freedom, where it's not really freedom anymore. It's people creating their own kingdom, creating their own idol, creating their own God, just like those Israelites did when Moses was up on the mountain and they created the golden calf. And but it's just interesting because this is happening all over our country and all over our world in different ways. And but this is just one of those avenues. People are pushing the envelope on freedom, and they're actually demanding that these things happen. You know, let's go to the other thing. I researched this one time. There were actually people. Now, granted, this hasn't gone very far, and I don't think it will. But this is the mindset I want you to be aware of. There are people that were contesting the killing mosquitoes and bugs that, you know, are harmful, or, you know, to our society, to humans. And there was this whole thing about it that, you know, they wanted to save the mosquitoes and save, you know. And I'm thinking, okay, well, how about these viruses? You want to save those too? They're living, you know. I mean, I don't think they've went that far yet, but see, what's happening here is they're pushing this envelope of freedom, and they're thinking, well, hey, you know, we can, you know, we got prayer out of schools. We pushed that and made that what we wanted. You know, the Ten Commandments out of the schools, we pushed that. We got our way there. You know, we were able to, you know, have abortions. We pushed our way and we got that. And, you know, what's the limit? You know, let's keep on pushing. Let's keep on pushing. How far can we go here? You know, I think mosquitoes should be protected, so let's go there. Or, you know, I don't think people should be born. Let's go there. Let's make that a thing. Let's let, you know, our voice be heard, you know, in the name of freedom. See, freedom of speech, that's that free thing that we have. But yet that motivates and pushes people to go outside of the envelope and to say, no, this is my kingdom. I'm going to create my kingdom. I'm going to create my idol. I'm going to do this. You know, all this stuff we heard about right here in 2 Timothy 3, we also heard Jesus talk about these very similar things. These people are looking, here's the reality. These people are looking for God. They just don't know it. They're looking for God. They are looking for godly leadership. They are looking for, somebody to worship, somebody to serve, because they were created to do that. And if they can't find God or haven't found God, they will create a God on their own. It's been proven throughout time. And that's what's happened. That's that form of godliness, but denying its power, you know. So we see it right here in 2 Timothy 3. Perilous times will come, you know, and they have been coming. So these things that we're seeing should not surprise us as believers, you know, but here's what I want you to know, way down in verse 9. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. So this is going to happen. We know that the light will expose the darkness. We know truth wins because we've read the scripture. We know that those folks that are trying to create or become a god themselves or create their own kingdom or whatever, because they don't want to surrender to God's kingdom, those folks, their folly will be manifest. It will be exposed. You know, all those in the government that are not leading by truth as they should. Folks, I'm going to tell you, they will be exposed. I don't know when. I don't know how. That's not for me to say. The Bible doesn't give those specifics, but it does say that evil will be exposed. The light will expose the darkness. Some of it's already been going on, and more of it will. And so, you know, this is what we can trust in. We know this. So, you know, these things that we're seeing in our society, I mean, like right now, our current state right now is that most of our children have not been in school in a very long time. They've been doing school online because of this COVID virus, you know, and the damages that are being done to our children mentally and socially and academically as well. Because I know a lot of children that are having a very difficult time in this new learning environment, you know, because we've been doing it one way for so long. You know, kids have been going to school. They've been having the interaction with other kids. They've been having the interaction with their teachers. And now it's just, they just look at them through a computer screen. And it's just, we're not created to do that. We're not created to be hermits. We're not created to live in our own little hole and be isolated from society, even if we can talk to them through a computer screen. And so suicides, by school-age children are up in a lot of places, a lot of counties and states across the country. One school system is trying to, you know, get everybody back to school because the suicide rate has increased so much. Mental health for our school children is just, not in a good place right now. So, you know, folks, these are the things that are happening. What is motivating this? Is COVID motivating this? Some school systems are saying get back. Some aren't. Some are saying let's stay out. You know, there's just so many driving factors with this. It goes beyond COVID. I'm telling you that. It goes beyond COVID. And I'm not going to sit here and pick out what state's doing what or who's responsible for what. All I know is one thing is the kids need to get back to school. They need to have the interaction. You know, they can be safe. They can do it safely, but they need to have that interaction. We're taking away from them. We're just pulling their will right out of them for relationships. And, you know, we're just doing a huge, huge disservice to our children, let alone our working community out there. For those that, you know, wanted to be away from people, wanted to be loners, whatever, this was beautiful. But for those that are not, those that, you know, get a recharge of being with people, this is hurting them a lot, especially our children. So, you know, whatever motivations might be behind it, you know, if Walmart's still open, if the stores are still open, the restaurants are still open, the schools certainly can be open. And I think a lot of places are afraid of liability, afraid of being sued or whatever. But I'm seeing it go the other way, too. If they don't do something soon, they're going to be sued for not having school. So, you know, there's so much driving all the things that we see that are going on right now. And this verse talks about all that headstrong. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, you know, and Bible tells us from such people, turn away from them. Don't have relationships with them. Pray for them, you know, maybe talk to them on occasion, but don't allow them to be engaged in your life because these people will pull you down. They'll be a negative influence on your life. They'll definitely cause you to, you know, if you're to have too much of a relationship with them, friendship or whatever, it could pull you down and pull you in a bad place. So, you know, we need to stay away from people like this, but they're all over the place. They're in our society and in our government, in our media, in our schools, in our universities, you know, they're everywhere. But I think the key is that we are aware that they are there, that we should not be surprised that they are there, we just trust God that their foolishness will be manifested. The evil will be manifested, and the light will expose the darkness, you know, and that will happen. So I just want to encourage everyone that, you know, don't be surprised by what you see. It's not new at all, but just know that there's people like that out there all over the place. There are people with ulterior motives. There are people with agendas that aren't what they seem. You know, on one side, it looks like it's for the good of the people. And then on the other side, it's really, really not. It's for the good of themselves. So, you know that this is out there. And so that it leads us to the question, and I'll end with this. It leads us to the question, okay, so what do we do about this? Well, I had somebody tell me one time, a good friend of mine used to come to church with us a long time ago. And he told me one thing, and he's an older gentleman, and I just want to share this with you, that the majority of people are inherently good. So there are people out there, and there's a lot of people out there that are good. Yeah, there's a lot of evil. But I think the majority of people have good intentions. Majority of people don't wish anyone any harm, you know, and the majority of people want to do good, you know, and I really believe that. It's just, they don't get the advertisement. It's the negative that gets the advertisement. You know, we've got a lot of people in our world and our society, especially here in America today, that are pushing the envelope, that are trying to make the impossible possible, trying to be all they can be, in the sense that let's legalize everything. Let's let America be a free for all in all areas of morality and everything. Let's do that, immorality. And that's kind of the mindset that many have, you know. But I think for the most part, people are good. Many are misguided, but people are good and they want to do good. So I just want to encourage you, don't be afraid of everyone. Don't be afraid of anyone, but be strong in your faith. Be strong in scripture. Be strong in who you are as an individual, and know the word of God. Read it. That's where you stand. That is what actually creates the foundation under your knowledge. That's what you live by, not what the world says, not what Hollywood says, the media says, the government says, not any of those things. So many people take what they read elsewhere as being the gospel, and it's really not. The only gospel is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that's the scriptures. And so I just want to encourage you to stand on that. Don't be swayed by the different things you see. Don't be surprised. Go ahead and pray for them. Go ahead and stand strong on what you believe, and don't allow that influence in the world to really affect you and cause you to think just like some of these people. Remember, they're pushing the envelope on freedom. They're trying to allow freedom to become a god because they're missing God in their lives and they don't know where to get him. That's where the church comes in. That's when we tell them about Jesus. Anyway, that's all for right now. I thank you so much for joining me as we talked about 2 Timothy 3. And, next time we'll get together and we'll talk about something else. But be strengthened, be encouraged, trust in the Lord, and he will be your strength. Thank you. God bless.
We're so glad you could join us for this episode of the Real People, Real God podcast. You can support this podcast by visiting www.valleyviewchapel.net and click on the donate button. Music was by Kevin McLeod, and my name is Tim Howard. Until next time, may the Spirit of God continue to teach you his ways.